Let's pray real quick. Lord, I just pray that you would speak today, that you would just show us what you have for us, and that we would learn. So thank you, and just pray that you'll bless this service. Amen. Cool. So I have a question. How many of you guys have done the weekend before? What do you guys think about the weekend? What about the Y games? Do you like the Y games?
Yeah!
Well, Kevin's in Santa Fe doing the weekend in Santa Fe, but we're going to talk about the weekend a little bit today. You guys, when we do the weekend, we have our leaders and stuff, and they sign up to serve and to help out with the weekend. And so, they don't usually sign up and thinking that they're going to, get chocolate poured on their face or milk poured on their head or whatever. Usually, they aren't really thinking they're signing up for that. Or Eric, when we go play broom ball, he's not signing up to go slip and fall on the ice, all kinds. He's just there to serve. So we're going to talk about what a servant is, and we're going to look at two people in the Bible who were servants. And we're going to see how their different attributes while serving lead up to the perfect example, and that's Christ. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to Matthew 20, 26 through 28, we'll be starting there. Okay, you guys there? And it says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The thing about that is, the world teaches us that you gotta be high, but what this is saying is, no, you start out low and you're humble. And that's where you get to a position of honor. So we're going to look at, just imagine a valley, like this valley. Okay, and the left side is going to be, we're going to pretend it's our life before Christ. And the right side is our life with Christ. And we have to cross the sides, right? And so think about, in serving, you start out low. Or you start out not with Christ. Or you start out just not really doing anything. But once you accept Christ, you kind of begin to go down this hill. And I call it the valley of the servant's valley. And in the servant's valley, it's kind of like you're serving in the valley. And the valley is the areas you serve in, where whatever it be, maybe even just helping out at your house or maybe helping the children's ministry at church. But as you begin to serve more and more, you'll start climbing up the other side to that peak, the right side with Christ, that position of honor. And so we're going to look at Christ as our perfect example. So first off, let's look at David and what kind of happened with him. Like I said, we're going to be doing a big overview of it. So bear with me. So we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 16. And I'll kind of catch you up on what's going on. Saul's king of Israel. And he's kind of doing a really lame job at it. And so the Lord sends Samuel. Samuel's a prophet. And he sends him to Jesse's house. Jesse is David's dad. And he says, out of one of this guy's sons, I'm going to find myself a king. And so we'll begin reading 1 Samuel 16, 6. I think Ray will pop it up on the screen. But I'll read it to you that you don't have to turn there. So it was that when they came, that he looked at Eliab. Eliab said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping sheep. And Samuel said to him, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So if you guys have been here the past couple weeks, Jason taught. And he kind of taught about David. He taught about David. And so we're going to kind of, you'll probably remember some of that. But what I thought was interesting is David has seven older brothers. And he's taking care of the sheep. And he's out there taking care of the sheep, serving. And all his brothers are, who knows what they're doing. And Samuel comes and he's looking for the king. He goes to Jesse's son. Jesse's sons and goes through all of them. And, oh, this is none of them. And he's like, and Samuel says, is there any more? And Jesse's like, oh, yeah, there's one other. But, you know, he kind of looks down on David. And David was humble. Because David's over there taking care of sheep. And let's say Samuel and Jesse are right here. And all his sons are passing by. And David, if he's just right over there, he probably sees all this going on. But he's patient and he's humble. He's not prideful. He just sticks to what he's supposed to do in serving. But as you can see, we start out low, and people kind of, in serving, people look down on us. And you just kind of humble yourself and don't really look for attention or to be lifted up or glorified in front of others. And that's what David's doing. He's just chilling, doing what he's supposed to do. And Jesse forgets about him, his son. He forgets about his son. But then Samuel's like, is there any other? And David ends up getting anointed. And David is going to be, he's anointed so he can become king once Saul dies. And even after he's anointed, you see that David isn't prideful at all. He's probably like 15, 16, and he's going to become the next king of Israel. Like, imagine if someone came up to you, like, when you're a little older and was like, hey, you're going to be the next president of the United States. You guys would be like telling all your friends, like, yeah, this guy said I'm going to be the next president of the United States. But David, he's like, oh, I'm going to be the next king of Israel. And he still sticks to his serving. The next part is the Lord had sent a spirit to disturb Saul. What this means is that the Lord kind of just lifted his hand off Saul and put it on David and was looking out for David now, blessing David. And so Saul's kind of like, since Saul he's really failing as a king and he's not really living for the Lord, he's kind of, imagine a spiritual battle between the Lord and Satan going on in Saul. And once the Lord lifts his hand off Saul, Saul's kind of getting like disturbed by this spirit, you know. And David's being blessed. But the spirit's disturbing Saul. And so they're like, well, what can we do to help Saul out, man? He's like, this spirit's like driving him crazy. So one of his servants says, well, that David guy, Jesse's son, he can play the harp and he's great at it. So David now would come play the harp for Saul. Here he is serving again. And since, like, I don't imagine that this spirit was just like every once in a while. I imagine it was probably pretty often, like disturbing Saul. And so that means David would just always drop what he's doing, go play the harp for the king. And like, that's he would drop taking care of sheep and be like, oh, I'm going to go play the harp for Saul. Like, so he's serving again for Saul, playing the harp. And in his serving, we're already seeing him, he's taking care of sheep, he's progressing. Now he is playing the harp for Saul. He's moving up in positions of serving. He's climbing up the valley. And then through David's serving, Saul likes him so much that he's like, hey, Jesse, can I have David? I want him to be my armor bearer. So David serves again and becomes his armor bearer. So now we're going to jump ahead a little bit and look at in 1 Samuel 17. We're going to see, here's what's going on. You guys know the whole story about the Philistines and Goliath. They're in this valley, and Israel's on one side, and the Philistines are on one side, and Goliath's coming out, and he's threatening them. So Jesse sends his three oldest sons with Saul to go fight. And So we'll read now in chapter 17:17, 1 Samuel. If you guys want to turn there, I guess Ray has trouble with the screen. So then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare. Bring back news of them." Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left his sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in the battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. So Jesse's like, "Hey, David, I want you to take this food to your brothers, these 10 cheeses." It's kind of random, 10 cheeses. "Take these 10 cheeses to your brothers and bring news back how they're doing. Tell me how they're doing. I'm concerned about my boys." But what's interesting is David's 3 oldest brothers are with Saul. And that means David had 7 brothers. So that means David has 4 other brothers that could have gone and taken the food. But who gets chosen to go serve? David. So he's serving again. He's running. He's taking food. And what's also interesting is he has a guy with him. And he leaves the guy to take care of the sheep. So back in the beginning, when David's out there taking care of the sheep, he's kind of just serving again because he has a sheep keeper, obviously, from what we see here. So he's serving again, he was serving then, and now he's serving again, taking the food to his brothers. And it's interesting to think that David has 4 older brothers, but he's the one chosen to go. So as we serve God, you can see God has his plan for David. He's progressing, and eventually he's going to fight, he'll fight Goliath. And we don't always realize when we are serving that if we are honoring God and doing his will, it'll eventually bring us to a position of honor. Remember Matthew 20:26 says, "And yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." So if you want to be great, you got to be a servant like David. In David's serving, he keeps progressing and progressing. And eventually, in 2 Samuel 5, he'll become king. You have to be low before you can become high. So that was David. We looked at David. He's a humble servant. He's just chilling, taking care of sheep, available for anything. But now let's look at Joseph, rags to ruler. He's another example of a humble servant. Genesis 37, if you guys want to turn there now. I know we're jumping around to a lot of scriptures. But if you want to turn there, I'll remind you what's going on. You guys probably all know the story of Joseph. He's got all his other brothers, and his father loves him the most. And his father makes him the nice, colorful coat, and Joseph's sporting his coat. And all his brothers are kind of jealous. And then Joseph has these 2 dreams. And in these dreams, all of his family is bowing down to him. And he tells his family, and his brothers are bitter at him because, like, they're like, "What are you talking about? You're just Joseph. Leave us alone. We don't want to hear your craziness." We can look at Joseph. His brothers will eventually sell him into slavery because his father sends him out to go see where his brothers are doing, kind of like David. And his brothers are bitter at him, so they sell him into slavery. And he eventually ends up serving in Egypt with the Pharaoh. And we can look at Joseph serving like things we have to do, like maybe school or doing chores at home, things we have to do. Whereas David, it was like kind of things that we just decide to do and take on our own. But let's look, Genesis 37:1. "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelite who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his under him, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. The Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph's serving in the house of Pharaoh, and he's doing such a good job at serving that he just keeps the Pharaoh likes, or Potiphar likes him, and he's like, man, this guy's good. I'm just gonna, all I have, he can be over it, except for the bread I ate. Like that's all I knew he had, because Joseph was taking care of it. Joseph was a good servant, so he received power from Potiphar. Now we can look at that and say, if it's the Lord's will for us to be serving in a certain area, he's gonna make us prosper, like Joseph. It may not be right away. You may be serving for a long time until the Lord does something really awesome and blesses you, and you realize it, but it will happen. In this chapter, the master's wife finds Joseph to be attractive, and she wants him to be with him, or be with her. Joseph refuses and runs, and his master's wife chases him and, like, snags his garment, and so Joseph just leaves it there. He's like, I'm getting out of here. But Joseph tells his story, and the lady reverses it and says, no, he was trying to be with me. And so Joseph gets thrown into prison. So in serving, things may not always seem like they're going our way, but we don't see the big picture. God does. We may not always understand what's going on in our serving, but God sees the big picture. He has got his plan for us in serving. Now we'll look at Joseph in prison. In 39:22, it says he had all the prisoners committed to him. This means all the prisoners in there were under him, and Joseph was looking out for them, taking care of them. And eventually, you guys know how the baker and the butler would come down into prison, get thrown into prison, and he'd prophesy for them. And the butler eventually gets restored to his position. The baker ends up biting the dust. But the butler didn't remember Joseph right away, and so Joseph was in prison for even longer. But eventually, he remembers him, and when Pharaoh has a bad dream, you know, he's disturbed by this dream. So they call, the butler's like, oh yeah, Joseph, he came in and he interpreted a dream for me. I'm sure he could do the same for you. And so Joseph interprets a dream for Pharaoh, and now we're going to see the fruit of Joseph's previous serving coming up. We're going to see how Joseph, from serving, now he's going to start getting blessed. Let's look at Genesis 41:39-44. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. For you shall be over my house. All the people, all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took his signet ring off and handed it off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Then he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and he cried out before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. So Joseph serving, prophesying, being available for service, ends up getting him working hard at what he's doing, ends up getting him some bling, is like they call it. He's got himself a nice chariot. He's got his ring. He's got his chain. He's got his fine garments. Joseph is, he's got it all now. He's got his clothes. He's over the whole land of Egypt. Previously, he was over Potiphar's house. Now, he went into prison. It seems like it's bad, but now he's over the whole land of Egypt, and he has all the power. So he went from rag serving to ruler. Things seemed bad for Joseph, but he kept serving, and the Lord blessed him through that. Since he kept serving, you know, he ended up getting blessed down the road. He didn't see what was happening, but he did. So, like, we could apply this to maybe when you guys are at school or doing chores at your house and your mom's like, hey, take out the garbage, and you're like, I'll do it later. But imagine like if you just were right on it and did it right away and did it even extra. Your mom's going to be like, whoa, that was awesome. He just did that super quick. Maybe I'll bless him or give him like, maybe your sister like gets to do some like awesome chore. It's like, and you're taking out the trash or something. I don't know if there's an awesome chore. But so maybe your mom will promote you to doing something better or whatever. Or maybe at school you help out your teacher with whatever, and eventually she'll promote you to helping out in even greater things. So in our serving, we just got to keep serving, and we'll climb up that servant's valley. We'll climb up to the other side. So we looked at David, a humble servant, available, just willing to do anything. And he is just a mighty warrior, a man of God. The Lord blesses him. No pride in him. And then there's Joseph. And Joseph's just this gentle guy, got thrown in, sold into slavery, got raised up, put in prison, and raised up again. So he was like in a really up and down road, if you think about it. But he had diligence in what he did. He did it good. He did it to the best of his ability, and that ended up blessing him. But now we'll look at Christ as the perfect example, and we'll see how David had these attributes about him. They were good, and Joseph had these. But they'll both lead into the perfect example, Christ. How many of you guys know what this is? What is this? It's an iPod. What does it do? Okay, an iPod plays music. What is this? Okay, what does a cell phone do? It calls people. Let's, like an iPod, you can store your music and you can like maybe save contacts on there and save numbers, but you can't call anyone. And a cell phone, you can kind of play music on it. It's not that great, but you can call people. You can maybe access the internet. It's not that great. But then, like let's say the iPod's David and the cell phone's Joseph. Let's look at Christ, the perfect example, the iPhone. How many of you guys have seen the iPhone? It's pretty cool, right? You can, like, have all your pictures. You can go on the internet. So, like, cool format, touchscreen. So cool. You guys want one? Who wants an iPhone? I've got one. Who wants it? No, I'm just kidding. but, yeah, so the iPhone, like, the iPhone's like Christ. It's got all the attributes of the cell phone and the iPod, but it's combined into one. So we'll look at Christ as the perfect example. Let's look at Matthew 28 again. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ is our perfect example because let's look at our valley of servantship. We say the left side is us before Christ, but let's say Christ, this is Christ before he comes to earth. And then on the other side is Christ after he comes to earth. He already needs all the honor on the other side. But he came down, served us, he died on the cross for us. He rose, and he climbed up the other side of the valley. And now he deserves all the honor. He's in that position of honor. So in serving, like, we should strive to be like Christ, you know, and even Joseph and David. Sacrificing whatever we have to help someone, you know, or just being available for service. Sometimes someone will ask you, hey, can you help me with this real quick? No, man, I'm busy. I got to do all this. But if you think about it, like, stop looking, help him, you know? Like, is it really going to hurt you that much to help someone out? So, Christ came down. He died on the cross for us. Don't you think we ought to serve him with our full capabilities? And however we can, in whatever way we can. Maybe some of you guys will serve in the children's ministry. That's awesome. Maybe some of you guys help out at your school or anything. You know, it doesn't have to be this great thing to serve. Just little things. And God will bless that. And he'll eventually bring you up to a position of honor. Let's look at one last scripture. Philippians 2:7. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Christ came for us. He died for us. He made himself of no reputation. There was no pride in him. He took the form of a bondservant. A bondservant is basically a slave. The bondservant didn't get paid or anything. Paul often calls himself a bondservant to Christ. It's your choice to serve him. You choose to do that. He made himself a bondservant. And he came in the likeness of men. He came down from his heavenly body, you know, or not even the body really, but he came down, took the form of a man. He experienced everything we experience, pain, any sin that we struggle with. Christ experienced that, but he didn't fall into it, sinless. And oftentimes we do struggle and fall into sin. But don't you think that Jesus is God's son, and he came down for us? Isn't that crazy to think about? Like, God's son loves you so much that he came down and died on the cross for you. That is, like, that blows my mind. Why would he do that? The truth is because he loves us. And you would think that God's son would come down and be like, oh, man, that's God's son, you know. Like, you would realize it. You think you would realize it. And you think you'd be all prideful about it, like, yeah, I'm God's son. What up? But Jesus came, made himself a no reputation. So if any of you guys feel like you want to serve more or do something, you can hop on 421 and help serve. Come early to Velocity and help set up and stuff. But if any of you guys need prayer or anything, or like want to maybe find out more about who God is and why he sent his son to die for you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, talk to a leader, talk to me, whatever. I have one final closing quote. It's a pretty cool quote. And it says, it's by a guy named Thomas E. Ward Jr. Since his arrival, the world has never been the same. Maybe it's because he's such a disturbing reminder that goodness and greatness rarely come wrapped up in the package we might expect. Instead, he arrives mysteriously cloaked in the most common form, the form of a servant. So Christ came down, again, made himself no reputation. He came as a servant to serve you. I don't know, Chris, do you want to play another song? All right, cool. You guys have a great week. Try to be a servant more. We'll see you next week. If you have any questions, you can talk to one of the leaders or me or whatever.